Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 30. The Steelers take on the Jaguars Sunday, 1 o'clock at Heinz Field. Dave, I don't want to say that we're looking past this game, but the reality is we're looking past this game onto bigger and better things. But let's break it down. Let's start things off with the injury report. We know we had a long list from Tomlin's press conference on Tuesday. Things have been updated, but it is pretty much rolling out as we talked about on Wednesday. What's the latest that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron Smith and James Harrison, of course, are out this week. Looks like they've all pretty much ruled out Chris Kimuatu as well, meaning Doug Legursky will start at left guard, as we thought, Ramon Foster at right guard. Tackle Marcus Gilbert, they don't expect him to start. They're hoping he suits up. He didn't practice yesterday with that shoulder. Right now, I'd say just leave him down another week, to be honest with you. So Jonathan Scott's going to start at right tackle there. Casey Hampton with that shoulder, it doesn't look like he's going to go this week. So Chris Hoke and Steve McLennan will keep up what they've been doing inside at nose tackle on in base formations. Running back Moaldy Moore, I guess it kind of depends on what happens today. Bruce Arian said yesterday that he's a guy that can go without practice all week, and he's a veteran. He knows the stuff. But, you know, why not just leave him down? It'd be a perfect opportunity to get him healthy and leave him down this week. But we'll see what happens today on that. Jason Worlds actually was limited yesterday with the quad as he works his way back. I guess if he's able to go full today, maybe he has a chance. So that'll be bears watching right there. Cortez Allen seems to be battling back from that ankle injury and was limited for the second straight day on Thursday. We'll see about his status today. Looking kind of good for him. And Ryan Clark, who was limited on Wednesday, practiced fully on Thursday with that quad injury. So, you know, it's pretty much as we thought. Rashard Mendenhall was a full go for the second straight day again, and he's going to start against the Jaguars.
Yeah, I think that it is what you said, and I agree with you on the Mabweldy Moore thing. I think you're right. Chemo is going to be down. You know, what we find in the NFL is if a guy gets hurt on a Sunday, he really has, you know, 4 days to be 100%. And, you know, the reality is there are very few injuries in football that aren't bumps and bruises that are going to get you healthy in 4 days. So you're going to end up missing, you know, most of you're obviously going to miss one game. And the reality is most of these things are 10-day, two-week type things. Any kind of muscle pull, a severe ankle sprain is always going to be a 10-day type thing. At a minimum. So when we see guys go down, the general perception is if it's not a kind of a bump or a bruise, if it's something more than that, a muscle pull or a severe ankle sprain or anything more than that, you're going to miss a couple games. We know Chemo's had this thing with the knee. You've been pointing it out since the beginning of the year. They are probably better served, particularly with the schedule the way it is, to try and get him back to 100%. Nice to see that Rashard can go. That's a little bit of a surprise. The fact that he dressed last week gave you the indication that it wasn't a severe hamstring injury. So he'll be back in there. He's not running for his job this week, and I think Steeler fans are quick to dismiss the 22 or 2,300 yards that he's gained over the past 2 years. But I expect Rashard to be hitting holes aggressively on Sunday. You know, like you said, Mabweldy Moore, they got production out of Redmond and they got production out of Dwyer. Get him 100% healthy. And then, Aaron Smith. And I think at this point, we may have seen the last of Aaron Smith as a starter, and we're going to see that he comes in the rotation packages and Ziggy Hood's the guy. I think you hit all the highlights there. As they've said, they're going to keep the linebacking unit the same as it is. And I thought the one interesting thing to come out of the news kind of over the course of the week, and you wrote some about this, how the Steelers showed more of the dime pack and were doing things with Troy that gave him some freedom, having Ryan Mundy back there in the two up top in the high safety look, along with Ryan Clark. And LeBeau, I think it was LeBeau who actually discussed it, but the reason he pointed to is when you move Lawrence Timmons to the outside, that means you've got Foote and Ferrier inside, and those guys can do the X-Blitz and they can play the run, but the reality is they're just not as fast as Lawrence Timmons. And we saw on Sunday's game one time where Lamar Woodley had to run with the guy, and it was, you just realize, Lamar Woodley's a great athlete. But he can't, when guys are running 4.5, 4.6, and he's running 4.9, the guy just runs away from him. And Timmons is maybe the one guy in that linebacking core that gives them some flexibility because he can run with some of those guys. And so I thought that was interesting stuff that you had commented about it on Sunday and Monday and written that good article about LeBeau doing different things with Troy and pointing out that they were going with a dime look. And then LeBeau went into, a little more explanation as to why they were doing that.
Yeah, and, LeBeau pretty much said when Harrison gets healthy, which that could still be 3-4 weeks maybe out, all depends on James, who knows. There's a report out there, that I think Wexel reported that he's already squatting like 400-plus pounds right now without a weight belt, I think was the word on that. So, he's getting his work in, and the good thing is that back has time to get even better. So when he comes back, yeah, Timmons will go back inside. The good thing, and they'll probably go back to using a lot of nickel. The good thing about this, though, is they have worked the dime enough now that it can be, if they get into a situation where teams are trying to stretch them out a little bit, they can always go to this dime. But LeBeau pretty much gave the reasoning, just as you said yesterday during his press conference, that that was the reasoning behind, of course, because Timmons was moved to the outside. And it'll be interesting to watch when Harrison gets back, maybe if they kind of rotate in a few dime packages along with the nickel.
Yep. Yep, and I we speculated a little bit about it makes the offense prep a little more in terms of what looks might the Steelers show, and as you mentioned and we talked about on Monday with the Patriots and the Ravens having success with their tight ends, it is it's a little more conservative coverage. Obviously, with two high safeties and Troy down in the box, you're doing some things differently. And it means Troy has to run with those tight ends some more, which, that's just fine. But, this is obviously predicated. The whole league is now predicated on speed and verticality in the passing game. And so, when you take a guy like Timmons and put him on the outside, and if he's going to be rushing the passer, that obviously takes him out of coverage, and you need more speed on the field. So you go to that dime look.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Troy against the tight end is not a bad thing, especially the way he does film work and can run some of these routes for these receivers and tight ends in the slot or whatnot. Interesting thing, that play early in the first quarter about, speaking about Troy on that opening drive, I've got an animated GIF up on the side of that play that he made where he just walked around the tight end, Jared Cook, dodged him. It was on the screenplay to Chris Johnson and just gave a shimmy shake to the guard there and put it and just Olay'd him aside to make the tackle on Chris Johnson. So if you had any doubts about the health and the status of Troy Polamalu and whether or not he deserved that contract extension before the start of the season, watch that one play, and that's all you need to see right there.
Yep. So, Dave, let's get into this game a little bit coming up Sunday. The Jags are 1-4. We chuckled a little bit about Mike Tomlin talking for 10 minutes about this team. It made it sound like it was a Super Bowl encounter, potential AFC championship game matchup with this team as he went through the roster. Look, the reality is they are playing a rookie quarterback. It's their third quarterback in the first 6 weeks of the season as they got rid of David Girard right at the end of the preseason. They went to Luke McCown, and they're now on Gabbert, their first-round pick out of Missouri. Look, I haven't seen enough film to have a thought on what his upside is, whether he's going to, blossom into what they hope he is. But the reality is when, you're making your fourth start, in Heinz Field, very few guys get to do what Colt McCoy did last year in his first start in Heinz Field. He played a great game. But the reality is rookie quarterbacks, the Steelers defense, LeBeau talked about it. Look, they're always trying to disguise things for quarterbacks and confuse them a little bit. And he said we'll certainly be doing the same thing with Gabbert on Sunday. But this is a team that, you look at their offense and there are two guys you point to. You point to Maurice Jones-Drew and you point to the tight end Mercedes Lewis. These guys are Pro Bowl caliber players. And so you would expect the Jags to come out here on Sunday, look to shorten the game, try to keep the ball on the ground if they can run it, and, make the conservative throws, probably to the tight end, some to Jones-Drew out of the backfield.
Yeah, it's no secret that that's the guy that you got to stop. Despite how awful they've been on offense, he still has run the ball pretty well. The problem is they just can't stay on the field and convert their third downs. Let me throw a few things at you here ranking-wise. They are last in the league in yards per game, with 270.6 yards per game. They are 31st in yards per play with a 4.45 average there. They are, passing yards a game. They are last in the league with 150 a game. And passing yards of play, of course, is going to go along with that, 5.36. And interception rate, they're 30th in the league. So, and first downs, 32nd in the league. So it doesn't take a genius. These stats, you know, sometimes stats will lie to you, but this is absolutely not the case with the Jaguars. LeBeau also said, you know, in his presser yesterday that, you know, they like to confuse and give a lot of different looks, and that's going to be no different with Gabbert on Sunday. So the main key is not going to be a rocket scientist or a Pat Kerwin here to break this thing down. That you, if you stop the run and put them in obvious passing situations, force them to throw the ball long and into windows on the field, against a zone type coverage with all this movement. That's the key to the Steelers' defense. If they do that, don't give up the big play. That's what they do to stop the Jaguars on offense.
Yep, I don't want to make, the Jaguars are probably a better team than Seattle. But we're talking about the same type of thing. When you talk about an offense that lacks big play guys, and in Seattle's case, they were missing a starting receiver and playing an inexperienced quarterback in a new system. You got the same type of thing coming here. You've got an inexperienced quarterback. You do have one or two guys you got to pay attention to. The other thing that we've seen is they are stout against the run. Their defense, while lacking maybe some of the big names that we've seen from other, when other teams come in here, their defense has played pretty well against the run. And, this is where the Steelers, when you talk about the Steelers and what they do, the thing now is you can't key on one thing on the Steelers. Able to run the ball reasonably well on Sunday. We talk about Rashard coming back to on this Sunday. But there are too many weapons to focus on, and that's now the big, the big advantage that the Steeler offense has.
Yeah, and plus, the Jaguars have been good with those linebackers inside against the run. In fact, that's probably their biggest strength on the team, and not surprising, with a Jack Del Rio coach team, of course. Daryl Smith, Paul Polozny, who we all know from up that area there, Clint Session and all as well. So their strength is their linebacker core against the run. Not so great, in my opinion, from what I've seen against the pass. So a guy like Heath Miller or some short Hines Ward across the middle in some of those soft areas and all, that really can be exploited against them. In addition to on defense here, they're not a strong team as far as putting pressure on the quarterback. They rank 26 in sacks per pass attempt. Their defense is, they're kind of okay in the rest of the categories. Not so great on third down, 17th in the league in third down percentage wise, and red zone and goal to go, they're not doing a good job of keeping teams out of the end zone. So this is a team, if you're able to have some limited success on them running the ball, perhaps even a game similar to last week that the Steelers had running the ball, not great, a few big plays in there, it'll be enough to bring the play action into play. And if you give Roethlisberger a time and B, a good play action to kind of suck those linebackers and maybe a safety if he's down in the box in, there's going to be some opportunities for some intermediate pass plays across the middle. And like it or not, Bruce Arians is not going to leave those tricks in his bag, and he's going to try to go for the home run three or four times a game. So watch their linebackers against the run, but I think they can be exploited in the middle of the field.
Yeah, and look, when Tomlin was going through the roster, he pointed at their safeties of Lowry and Landry. Of course, these are guys that Steelers fans are probably familiar with, particularly Landry, who was with the Ravens, right?
Right.
And then we know their corners. Rasheen Mathis is a guy who's known. Derek Cox less so. And then it's funny when a head coach in a press conference is talking about their nickelback. Drew Coleman from the Jets is the Jaguars' nickelback. So, they've got some guys back there. But this is a game Again, it'll be interesting to see if the Steelers win the toss, what they decide to do. I would assume Tomlin will continue to defer, particularly in this situation. But it's Steelers get field position early, put points on the board, and the Jaguars have to come play from behind. The tenor of this game will be very different. It's one of those things, very simply, don't let them hang around. Put up 14 points in the first quarter, get a double-digit lead, and then this should be a methodical grind it out, take care of business win.
Yeah, you know, they got you mentioned Rasheen Mathis. Boy, what a Steeler killer he's been over the years. I think all three of his interception returns for the touchdowns have come against the Steelers, and we remember quite a few of those well. Unfortunately, it seems to be the team that he always plays well against. I suspect he'll see a lot of Mike Wallace and some bracket coverage there, with the safety perhaps. So that'll be a matchup to watch. They do get Aaron Kampman back this week, but when I was talking to Vito the other day on the Wednesday podcast, a Jaguars beat writer, he only seems to think Campman's going to only get probably around 15 snaps or so coming back from that injury of his. So I wouldn't expect him to be a huge player in this game as far as pass rush wise goes. But yeah, I'm with you. You know, jump on top of him quick and then put the leg on the throat and just don't let up. You know, as long as the Steelers don't turn the ball over in this game, this is a W in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. They got Josh Scobie as their kicker. He's a solid kicker. Did they just change punters this week with Kirk punting?
They sure did. They got
Nick Harris.
Yeah, Nick Harris, and they let Turk.
Turk was one of two guys in the league with below a 40-yard average. And as we've seen over over 15, 20 years, but it just seems in the past 5 years, if you're having a gross punting yardage under 40 yards, I mean, these guys are now regularly kicking the ball 50 yards. We're seeing, guys with averages up around 50 now. And when you got a guy like Dan Sepulveda who's doing the job that he's doing a great job. The coverage teams have been good, but he's getting, good height on his punts and sometimes your net numbers are down a little because you're punting from the 35 or whatever it is. But when Turk is his gross number was under 40, it's you better start looking for, as Chuck Noll would say, time to start looking at what your life's work's going to be.
Yeah, and I think that's probably going to about do it for Turk. I think Del Rio says never seen a punter get so much attention as Turk has. He's gotten the most attention over the years as a member of the Jaguars. So it doesn't seem like there was it seemed like they was ready to make that move, and that short punt he had last week against the Bengals pretty much sealed his fate. It'd be interesting to see with a new punter and all like that how it affects your special teams. Let's face it, Antonio Brown is itching to take one. Tomlin refused to call him an elite guy, sent him a message the other day. Say, hey, he hasn't taken one to the house yet. And you got to love the way Tomlin works these guys like this, So extra motivation for Brown not to rest on his laurels of what he's done thus far. And maybe this is the week that he takes one to the house. You know, it'd be interesting to see if they directional kick, how well they do it, trying to kick away from him. But, hey, let's face it, Antonio Brown's become a weapon not only on offense but in a field position, point of view as well on special teams.
Yeah, and let's just, just as we wrap things up here before we go to our picks for the week, let's just say, you talked about them running the ball. Maurice Jones-Drew is averaging 5 yards a carry, and that's on 96 carries. So, in five games, he's touching the ball 20 times a game, and he's averaging 5 yards a carry. So, look, the Steelers defense has had trouble against the run, you couldn't ask for a blueprint. Here's what you got to go do this week: go shut down the run with a rookie quarterback, and they're gonna have, load the box up and make sure he doesn't get his yards.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Hoke was on Steelers Live at 4 yesterday showing Wolf and Tunch about how to combat that zone blocking scheme and how to stay ahead, off the snap, whichever way they flow, trying to make sure you get ahead in Hoke's case of the center there. And, it was a great breakdown of what they need to do. Hoke is very sound technically. He probably moves better. Well, there's no probably about it. He does move better than Casey Hampton. does at least over this last few games, it seems that way. And he knows to keep his feet. He knows to keep square. He knows to watch out for the chops and the cuts and all like that. So, as long as the defense can play and string out that kind of stretch and work against the zone blocking scheme that the Jaguars have and make Maurice earn his living inside the tackles and flow him back inside, that's the key to this game, plain and simple.
Yep. All right, Dave. Well, let's get on to our picks, of course.
Hey, real quick, what's your thoughts on the Tomlin hanging up on the conference call the other day?
Oh, yeah, good point. I guess probably the only reason you don't want to see somebody do something like that is because then people spend a lot of time talking about it and trying to read stuff into it. I think Tomlin said, look, that's 4 years ago. That's a nice and interesting story for people in Jacksonville, but we're focused on this Sunday's game and let's move along. And, things don't move along. Mike Tomlin is a man of conviction and a man who is very comfortable in his own skin. And I think that's kind of the charm to hear him speak on his press conferences on Tuesday when there's not a lot of information given, but, the Tomlinisms are now becoming legendary, at least in Pittsburgh. And so I find it amusing. Did you have a larger take?
No, well, I would have been, if it would have just been one question and he's abruptly trying to end it, I would say, okay, well, maybe he might be in the wrong, but they just kind of peppered on that. They know that this game is going to be a walk for the Steelers, hopefully. And all they want to talk about was 4 years ago. Now I understand their angle. They were wanting to talk about how that win against the Steelers really changed, the complexion of the Jaguars franchise for the next several years because they re-signed Gerard, they re-upped Del Rio and all like that. And had they lost that game, maybe none of that happens, So, yeah, it maybe was a big game for the Jaguars and changed what they did over the next few seasons and changed the complexion of where they're at right now. But really, Tomlin could give a shit about that, to be honest with you. That's a big story to them, and that's what Tomlin was trying to say. That's a big story to you. We don't care what you did as a franchise since you beat us in that game. I'm with you. Hey, that's what bloggers and media do. We write about that. We bring it up and on. It's up to the fan base to discuss. And I think it's kind of really as quick as it came in. I think it's kind of washed underneath the under the bridge as quick as it came in. It's a non-story.
Yeah, another time and offline we'll discuss whether that's actually true, that it changed the course of the franchise. Because, look, if they, let's say they don't convert the fourth down, the Steelers go on and win that game, are you really going to, are you going to really blow things up when you're that close to being that close? I don't know. I kind of think that's probably a narrative that's been constructed around the events that have transpired rather than causing the events that have transpired.
But, yeah, that's how the media is trying to spin it on their side.
Exactly. Well, of course, Dave, I had a great week last week because I wasn't on the podcast on Friday and people didn't get to hear my picks and I pretty much cleaned the board out.
That's the way it works. You've been leaving me to struggle on this damn thing. I have not had a good sense. Luckily, the games that I do play a couple of weeks ago, I was chasing my money around and got most of it back there. Last week on the three games that I played, I hit two of them and one of them I nailed pretty good. But, if you look at my overall picks as a whole still, boy, you ought to be fading the crap out of me right now because picking every game every week right now, and that's what Vegas wants you to do. They want you to line up at the window with picking all these games because they know that you're not going to hit these. But overall, I've been horrible. So as we go through these, make a note and go the other way.
All right. Well, without further ado, the Pack again on Sunday night. Do I have my weeks right? Coming back and beating Atlanta, a really nice win. I actually went to bed at halftime of that game, and I was on the Pack, and I figured that's a loser. Very happily woke up Monday and had the winner. They get to go back home. They play a St. Louis team that has certainly not met anybody's expectations here early in the season. Again, they seem like the past couple of years they've really been ravaged with injury, and more of that this year. They're home. They're a 14.5-point favorite. that's a number that always makes people uncomfortable, and the reason is the backdoor cover. There's no question Green Bay can put points on the board, but when they're up, you know, 35 to 20 in the fourth quarter, who's playing? Who's, you know, St. Louis is throwing on every down, always a chance to score points. This is a game that kind of fits into, if you're a tease player, this is one you want to look at. But I'll probably stay away. But, I still gun in my head. I think they can always put up 35 points. So I think I'd take the Pack.
You know what? I thought the Rams would be better than what they are this year. I really have. And, I a lot of my picks, I think I've picked the Rams quite a bit this year to cover. I'm seeing 15.5 on my side here, David. And I'm a glutton for punishment. I think you mentioned there the backdoor cover. I think Green Bay wins this game. But you know what? Give me that 15.5 because the Packers are, you know, still going to have some problems at tackles here. I think the Rams might be able to exploit that a little bit. Not that they're going to win the game, but give me 15.5 points in the Rams.
Dave, I'll let you lead this one off. This is there's no other way to put it. This is a must-win game for the Eagles. They're 1-4. It's a divisional game. It's at Washington. I think Washington's gotten better than people anticipated here in the start of the season. Washington's at home getting a 1.5, and the Eagles are, you know, more or less playing for their season. What are your thoughts?
Boy, if Andy Reid loses this game, you know, this could be it because you hit it on the head. This is a must-win game for them in division and all like that. I don't know. Something's wrong here because I would think the Redskins be favored at home, but they're not. I'm laying the points with the Eagles here. Something's up, and I think Vic rebounds, and I think they cover.
Yeah, if you're a gambler, you've probably been getting on the Eagles here in a couple of these games, probably against Buffalo. I'm with you. I'm going to take the Eagles and cross my fingers that they get it right once because I really do think it's sayonara if they don't. The team that I don't know how much of a surprise Detroit is. I guess it's a surprise maybe they're 5-0, but I think everybody knew coming into the season they had some weapons. Their defensive line looked so ferocious against the Bears on Monday night. Those young guys bring in pressure. San Francisco has been above and beyond expectations for sure. They've shown that they can come east and win. They won in Philadelphia. Jim Harbaugh has done a great job, and Alex Smith is off to a great start. Having said all that, 4 doesn't seem like the right number. I would have expected that line to be 6, really maybe even 7. I'll lay the 4.
I'm going to lay the 4, too. I think the Lions are for real. I think they can still big play, and you hit on the defense. Their defense is pretty solid getting after the quarterback. And last I looked, Alex Smith is still Alex Smith.
What do you like here? I've got the Falcons -4 at home against Carolina.
Man, I can't stay. The Falcons are another team I can't stay away from for some reason, especially at home, man. I know Cam Newton has been playing out of his butt so far. Great fantasy quarterback, by the way, if you got him going in your leagues. That being said, Falcons, this is really a must-win for them as well. So -4, Falcons at home.
Yep, your logic is sound in my mind. Cincinnati's at home against Indianapolis, laying 7. You know, Curtis Painter's playing pretty well. I don't expect to see Kerry Collins again this year unless there's an injury. Painter's got, you know, he's had 2 good starts. The Colts are obviously having a miserable season, but 7's too many here. I'll take the Colts.
I'm with you on this. 7 is too many. I won't be playing this game, though, because this just something stinks in this game. Two teams that you really can't gauge. I don't think the Bengals are as good as what they've done played this season, and I think the Colts have a little bit more talent. So I want the Colts plus the touchdown.
Giants laying 3 at home against the Bills.
Tough one. Very, very tough. Which Bills team is going to show up? The Bills team that started the season? The Giants? I just can't get a good grasp on the Giants and Eli either. That being said, boy, look at the over-under number on this.
How about that 50, huh?
Which is 50 here, so they expect to shoot them out here. That being said, I guess, you know, I'm going to go with the home cooking here for some reason, so give me the Giants and lay the 3.
Yeah, if I got to check a box, I guess I'm with you on that. I think the Giants are even more difficult to gauge than the Bills in terms of which team's going to show up. Yeah, I'm with you. I'll lay the 3, but I probably won't play this one. Then we get into some good ones at 4:00, and the Ravens have the Texans. You know, this as somebody, I think I can't remember who made the comment that they're not buying into the Texans until they go punch somebody in the mouth. They lost a game as a favorite at home to the Raiders this week. They've obviously had injury problems with Arian Foster early in the year. Andre Johnson's now out with the hamstring that he pulled against the Steelers. And then, of course, Mario Williams out for the season with a torn pectoral muscle. And the Ravens have looked great. Other than the beating they took from the Texans in week two, they have looked like a really solid team. I don't know that I play this game because it's hard for me to, lay 8 points with and have Baltimore do it. But I guess I would take the Texans, but hesitatingly.
Yeah, for some reason, something stinks on this as well. I don't know. Ravens are coming off a bye, so that they've got that playing in their favor. They're at home. Texans is a beat-up squad right now. The loss of Mario is huge right now going into this game, along with Andre Johnson being down again. I just don't see how the Texans can score many points in this game. So that being said, I'm taking the Ravens minus the 8.
Yep. Okay. So we got one different there. So Oakland is at home against Cleveland, laying 6.5. I said it in week three, I think the Raiders are a playoff team. I love the way they run the ball. I'm laying the 6.5. I think this is a good Oakland team.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be running it. They're playing with a lot of motion right now after the death of Al Davis that showed last week. That was if you didn't see that one coming as a gambler, that was one that I loaded up on right then because of on the Al Davis passing alone. Hate to boil it down, insider type stuff. Get your pay for these picks right now type situation. But that's what my decision came down to in that game last week. Emotional win coming off. They get the Browns at home. I think the Raiders are still the better team, so I probably won't touch this because of the even 7 in this game, but if I were, I'd lay the 7.
Yeah, okay, so I had 6.5. I do have 7 in the Patriots game.
Okay, you got 6.5. I'll definitely lay the 6.5.
I get the Patriots laying 7 against Dallas at home. What do you say? The Patriots, their defense isn't that good. Their offense is outstanding. Dallas is another difficult team to gauge, but they're coming off a bye. I think they make this game competitive. I'll take the touchdown.
I'm with you on this as well, too. A lot of criticism about Tony Romo this week from Deion Sanders that want to answer. They're coming off a bye. Dez Bryant, I think, could have a huge impact in this game. Patriots still can give up big passing plays here. Dallas can do that, can stretch the field. I think the Patriots probably win this, but I want the 7 points.
And I'm
not following you around this week, I promise, but I got to do better. If it means snitching your picks, then I'm going to do it.
Fair enough. The Saints are at Tampa. I think Tampa's one of those quintessential teams. It took a giant leap forward last year to get to 10 wins. I don't think they were that good a team. I think Josh Freeman can be a good quarterback. I think he's probably a little overrated at this point in time. I'm surprised they've had some trouble stopping the run because their defensive front, is young and talented. I think they're ass handed to them last week in San Francisco, absolutely embarrassed. And you'd think this would be a good game at home in the division to come back and play them close. And I don't. I think the Saints are much better. 4.5 on the road is, we talk about it all the time. 4.5 the number means Vegas doesn't know which way to go. I think they should have gone to 6. I'm going to lay the points.
What are you seeing? 4.5.
Yeah,
I'm laying that as well. LeGarrette Blount's going to miss this game as well. I thought the Buccaneers were going to be a better team this year. I thought they had a shot maybe at competing at a wild card spot this year. They lose this game, and I think that might be crushed at this point. So Saints smell blood in the water on the road. Lay the points.
Chicago gets a chance to get back on national television right away after losing on Monday to Detroit. This one they get at home again in the division. Minnesota comes in. Minnesota's better than their 1-4 record, no question. I don't know what to think of this game, and I'm showing 3, the Bears by 3. I guess I'll take it just because they're home, but I have no view. I'm not playing it.
I'm not playing this game either. In fact, I think the Bears just false started again while we were talking. that was miserable, man. I don't know what to think about this game. When in doubt, take the home team. So Bears minus the 3 would be my pick.
And the Monday night game is the Jets, and I'll just put the Jets in exactly the same category as the Eagles and the Falcons. It's a must-win game for them, division game. They're laying 7 to the Dolphins. And 7 feels like the right number maybe a touch low. The Dolphins have an unsettled quarterback position. I think Monday night at home in front of their fans, having been embarrassed a couple times, this is probably a game where the Jets try to make a statement and, put the pedal to the metal. They're not a potent offensive team with Mark Sanchez at quarterback, but they do have a couple weapons. I think that, this is a game that I look for them to win 24-7, something like that. So I'm going to lay the points.
Yeah, what are you seeing, -7?
Yep.
Yeah, in fact, I think this will go even higher by the time kickoff rolls around here. So that being said, the Dolphins have too many problems right now. Tony Soprano's Soprano is pretty much a lame duck right now, and the Jets need this game. Rex Ryan, didn't he pretty much guarantee now they're going to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl after all this? So
doesn't he do that every week?
Yeah, he does. That being said, give me the Jets later points before this thing goes up on Monday night.
All right, I think we only got one different. I'm guessing we're not going to be different on the Steeler game. I'll let you kick us off.
I'm seeing -13 is the latest here. Is that what you're seeing?
I'm seeing 12.5.
Okay, well, definitely. I want the lower number, so I'm laying 12.5. This definitely shouldn't be close. I can't see the Jaguars scoring any more than 10 points in this game. So give me the Steelers 30-10.
I like that a lot. I'm right with you. I don't see the Jaguars scoring too many points. I hadn't thought about my score, but I like your score a lot. How about I'll go 31-9? I'm gonna get right on you on that one. I like the Steelers getting 4 touchdowns again, doing well in the red zone, and I don't see the Jacksonville getting a touchdown, but maybe they get it down there and Scobie kicks 3 field goals.
There you go.
All right, well, that's going to wrap things up for us here, Dave. We'll be back at you Monday. I'm going to be on a bird at some point Monday to Las Vegas, so we'll hopefully be collecting some winnings out there on my journey. But we'll figure out the time, and we'll make sure we have something up at some point on the day Monday. As always, follow Dave at Steelers Depot. You can follow me at Hammer Speaks on Twitter. Dave's website, SteelersDepot.com. Pass this around to your friends. We're trying to expand our base, get this all going. And you can email us, you can tweet us, you can do whatever you want. I appreciate all the questions and the feedback. Dave, anything to close us out?
No, just go Steelers, and we'll talk to everybody on Monday at some point. We'll definitely be efforting one up on Monday, then hopefully another beat writer from Arizona next Wednesday.
All right, that's the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.